Our Old Testament reading this morning comes from the book of Genesis and chapter 9, starting at verse 8. Then God said to Noah and to his sons with him, "As for me, I am establishing my covenant with you and with your descendants after you, with every living creature that is with you, the birds, the domestic animals, and every animal of the earth with you, as many as came out of the ark. I establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the waters of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth." God said, "This is the sign of the covenant that I make between me and you and every living creature that is with you, for all future generations. I have set my bow in the clouds, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring clouds over the earth, and the bow is seen in the clouds, I will remember my covenant that is between me and you, and every living creature of all flesh, and waters shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. When the bow is in the clouds, I will see it and remember the everlasting covenant between God and every living creature of all flesh that is on the earth." God said to Noah, "This is the sign of the covenant that I have established between me and all flesh that is on the earth." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
And to unpack this teaching on the first Sunday of Lent is Helen White. Here she comes.
Good morning. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that you will speak into our hearts this morning and draw us closer into relationship with you. Amen. So I looked up what a rainbow is. I'm a bit that kind of Google nerd, really. And the National Geographic website was extremely helpful, I must say. So I think we perhaps all know that a rainbow is to do with light reflecting off the raindrops. But did you know that it has to be at a precise angle of 42 degrees for you to be able to see it? And when a ray of sunlight passes through the front of the raindrop, it bends or refracts, and then it hits the back of the raindrop and is reflected back again out of the front of the raindrop and bends off in all different directions. It's mind-bogglingly complex but simple at the same time, and achingly beautiful. But isn't that just all what our God is like and his wonderful creation? And he gives it here as a sign, a reminder of a covenant between himself and all people and creatures for all eternity. We're going to look in a bit about what a covenant signifies, but let's just deal with the whole flood thing first. So was Noah's flood real? Well, probably yes, if you talk about it as the whole known world at the time. Geographers and oceanographers seem to agree that the conditions existed for a catastrophic flood to have covered a huge area of Mesopotamia where Noah was, to a depth which would have wiped out all living things, unless you were in a huge boat or were a fish. And was the ark real? Well, there have been many claims to have found all or bits of it, but I think most archaeologists would agree that we're not going to find it now, and so we'll never be able to prove it one way or the other. Does that matter? I don't think so. I think what really matters is what happens next, which is where today's reading picks up the story, where it gets to be about the relationship between God and humans. Here we have this all-powerful, infinite God who could do anything, including starting again with his whole creation. But he doesn't. Remember the Genesis story of the creation. At the end of each day, God looked at what he had made, and it was very good. However long you think he took to do creation, and I'm firmly in the camp that he continues to do it through evolution, he loves what he made. He loves the land, the seas, the amazing variety of living things. And human beings, with all their waywardness, disobedience, but occasional brilliance. So instead of leaving human beings on tenterhooks, will he or won't he wipe us all out at some point in the future? He makes a covenant with us. Actually, he ends up making a few, but let's look at what making a covenant meant in the ancient world. In modern times, a covenant seems mostly to restrict what you can do with a piece of land. But in ancient times, it was a relationship between two parties who made binding promises to each other and then worked together towards a common goal. So in making a covenant, the infinite, all-powerful God is binding himself within a personal relationship with us. Well, this was such a big and astonishing thing that the word covenant appears seven times in this short passage. And even more astonishing is that within that relationship, within the binding promises, God and all living things would work together towards a common goal. Doesn't that put a whole new perspective on conservation? We're all, God, humans, and all living creatures, bound together in a relationship. All have importance in working together. And for sure, we have an important role in that, to work together with God. And this theme is picked up throughout the great arc of the Bible, a theme of God and humans working together, right through until Jesus gives his apostles the Great Commission to go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey everything he has commanded them. So, what does this mean for us? Well, I suggest that during this Lent, we all take some time to meditate on the fact that we are bound for all eternity in a relationship with God to work together. And to think about what that means, because we're obviously the junior partner, right? But we are the loved and valued partner with a unique role which only each one of us can play. In a piece for the Lectio 365 app recently, Brian Heasley said, "When I became a Christian, I didn't join a self-help group. I was really struck by that. Being a Christian is not about self-improvement. That might be a byproduct, but it's not the main goal. And Lent is not about giving up alcohol, chocolate, whatever, because it's good for us. Being a Christian is about developing a covenantal relationship with Jesus Christ, within which each party has binding promises and is working to a common goal. It's about understanding the role that God has for us, and then committing to try and fulfill it with the help of the Holy Spirit, who Jesus promised would be with us always. So how do we develop that covenantal relationship? Well, Andrew was talking last week about the spiritual disciplines which we can use in Lent. Spiritual disciplines sounds a bit scary, but they're all things that we can do, that we do. Bible reading, prayer, meditation, worship, giving away money, fasting, solitude. Whatever draws us into a closer relationship with God, whatever helps us to focus more on him and less on ourselves. And for each one of us, what achieves that will be different. So I encourage us all to think about what that is for each one of us, and then to practice it. Of course, that's not always going to be easy. But if we look for them, God gives us signs when things are tough to encourage us. And as we all know, when the rain clouds are at their darkest, the rainbow is at its brightest and most beautiful. So my prayer for all of us this Lent is that we can commit to using whatever spiritual discipline draws us closer in our relationship with God. That we renew our promises to work with Him. That we ask His guidance in our part of the work towards our common goal. And that we will all see the rays of His beautiful and brilliant light when times get tough. Because they will be there. He promised it would be so. Amen.
Thank you.